Christ Jesus, in Yeshua, Yahushua, HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior, greeting you from the wonderful island nation of Sri Lanka, where my lovely truck, Bessie, and I do battle almost on a daily basis on these crazy roads. She's a good girl. I'm slightly war wounded right now. You know what? I don't know why, but my high beams work, but my low beams do not. So, as I do a little bit of a night drive, I'm going to be that guy on the road that's driving around with his high beams on. Hey, it's better that I have some lights than no lights at all. Yes, I am overdue for a stop at the electrician's place. But you know, in this country, as soon as the wiring goes in one time, pretty much after that, it's going to be a life of hit or miss. Because, you know, it's not like the States or the Netherlands or Australia or any of these other places, developed nations as such, where they, pretty much, you know, you go in and people have technical expertise in those specific spots and they're good at it. Now, here, you kind of take what you get. A little bit of hit or miss. I should say, a little bit of hit, a lot of miss. So, yeah, but you work with it. At least I am glad to have light in front of my truck. Driving around in the dark. Because there was one time where I was driving back from the hill country. I was up in the mountains here. And I had to drive back at night. And lo and behold, I'd gone up in a lot of rain. And I was coming back, and I had no lights, so that was not good. And at one point on the way back, you know what I did was I got closer to some slow-moving vehicles, like some big semi-trucks, our local equivalent here, that we call them a lorry, and I got close to those ones and sort of tailgated with them, just so that I had a blocker and some lights and went slow, worked my way back. But at one point I was like, Lord, I need some lights, this is not good at all. And within 30 seconds of praying that, I got some lights back. So God does answer big, little, small, large, any prayer, anything that's going on with you, it's all the same as far as He's able to. All of it is a small thing for Him. Because He's God, He's in control, He can take care of His people. So don't get stressed about the little things, don't get stressed about the big things. Just keep moving with Him. Just keep looking to Him. Learn to flow with the Spirit of God, no matter what your external situation and circumstance may look like. Trust Him. Because when you trust Him, when you follow Him in that state of dependence and in that relationship, He takes care. He really does. You know, He watches over His people. And, you know, Japan has been on my mind, on my heart. I really do feel for those people over there right now, because this thing has continued to unfold and go from bad to worse now, with a nuclear problem that, you know, potentially a reactor meltdown. Yeah, it could really get bad over there. Worse. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, sometimes people in disaster work, the thing is, I mean, think about it. If you wanted to build a house, if you were going to build a house for you and for your family, and you said, okay, today you had, you know, all the money in the bank to build that house. Well, all right, if you wanted to build it, you wouldn't be able to put it up tomorrow. You wouldn't be able to put it up tomorrow if you wanted to. It takes time. You know, it would take you some time to plan it, some time to coordinate it, some time to begin putting things in place. And then getting hold of the contractors, securing the necessary materials, all of that, for your own house. Multiply that up times a ridiculous amount of land and area and people and lives that are affected. You get an idea in the sense of what some of these natural disasters you end up having to do after the fact. And so even Japan, the third largest economy in the world and a very wealthy nation, relatively speaking, it's going to take a lot of time for them to, you know, to build back and to put those pieces in place. So, you know, and then there's obviously the loss of life, the loss of livelihoods, the loss of the destruction to people's psyche. It's unreal, you know, when you're around something like that. And by God's design, in my own life, I've been around that more times than more times than average. Let's just say it like that. And yeah, it's hard. You know, it's hard for those people. It is hard for those that go in to help. It is difficult. Oh yeah, I have had a number of people asking, am I going to Japan? At this stage right now, I do not have in myself a plan to go over. Of course, we go wherever the Spirit of the Lord leads us. That said, God would have to put some things together in order, desiring me to be over there. But, you know, the thing is, too, is with something like any of these places, you don't just go in for the sake of going in. Realistically speaking, any organization that's going into Japan, or you're going to need to have a minimum of $10 million just to be able to make a small dent in whatever place it is that you're working. You would need to be working very strongly in with the local government and with the national vision that they're going to have to come forward with on what they're going to do and how they're going to respond. You need a good resource base, good team, good coordination, and really to work together strongly with the government in that place so that all efforts are sustainable and moving on. But you know what happens in Japan, this is really going to be an amazing test for the global community in a response, because this is different. See, usually when people talk about disasters striking places and difficult times, you know, the vulnerability, it's usually with poorer nations. It's usually with places that have bad infrastructure, didn't prepare themselves, nothing like that with Japan. This just was huge. It was just huge, and it was right there, right outside their door. They had 30 minutes to try to get away, and a lot of people didn't quite make it. But because of a lot of their preparedness, that's the difference between hundreds of thousands of lives being saved and the lower number of casualties that you see in a place like that as compared to spots like Haiti and others around the world where the death toll is much higher. But, you know, we've shifted into a time now where in the natural, look, there is no safe place. There is no safe place in the natural. Yeah, I mean, if you've walked with Christ, you've known already that crossing the street is You know, you can check out just crossing the street. You can have everything going wonderfully. All things in your life are fine, and somebody drives right through your front yard into your living room. That's happened to people that I know, and just killed them. It's not about making a perfect, cushy little life for yourself here in this life and in this world. No, it's about being in step with the Spirit of God. If you're in step with the Spirit of God, look, you can go anywhere. You can go into the heart of the lion's den. You can go into the middle of a hurricane. You can go into whatever situation. If He's leading and guiding you, if His Spirit is protecting you, you're fine. You got to understand that. You are fine. See, God's people, God's children, we're protected. And it'll be the difference between being in the wrong place at the wrong time by 2 minutes, and you will be out of the way. You just won't be there. Something will have happened. Something will have come up. Something just changes. You know how many near misses we have on a monthly, sometimes depending on what, sometimes daily basis for some of us. We're just, stuff misses you all the time. I mean, if you could see in the heavenlies the battle that's raging, and the spirits and the angelic clash that's taking place around you all the time. I mean, it's incredible what's going on in the dimension of spirit all of the time. And for us, you know, that's why you just have to stay in step. If you just stay in step, you'll be all right. You'll be where God has for you to be. And when the time comes for you to check out, because newsflash, every one of us is leaving this life. Every one of us is leaving this world. There's not a soul that came into this world that stays in this world. Everybody leaves. But, you know, not everybody lives. Everybody leaves this life, but not everybody lives this life. Not everybody lives the abundant life. It is the minority that live the abundant life. Part of the reason why you check in here is because you want to live the abundant life. Your desire, that's my desire. My desire is to live the abundant life, and anything that is less than that, I do not want it. I do not want a substandard life. I do not want the illusion. I do not want the prepackaged, preservative-filled, boxed MRE that they try to hand out to everybody and say, this is now a life. Maybe you're worth it. Maybe have it your way. Whatever the slogan is. Whatever it is, I don't want that. I want what Christ has for me. I want what He has in His hand that He desires that I would have and fulfill and be while I'm here. You want that. You desire that. There's something in you that's screaming out for that. And that's why you tune in here. And yet, what is this thing that keeps you from switching into that? What is this, this thing that's holding you back? Is it fear? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of death? Why would you be afraid of death? For the follower of Christ, death has no sting. I had one friend who was talking to me one time. And she was telling me, she's like, I don't mind dying. I just don't want to die a painful death. I don't want to go through a lot of... You know how many people worry about stuff that will never, ever come to pass, or they'll never, ever end up seeing or enduring or experiencing? And that, even in and of itself, is just a mental trap. Look, whatever you'll end up experiencing, you know, when Peter, when he was going to die for the sake of the gospel, the same Peter that ran away from Jesus in the garden, is the same Peter that chose to go to his death, deliberately, willfully went back to his death, allowed for that to happen to him as a means of glorifying Christ. In fact, when they were going to crucify Peter, he asked to be crucified upside down, his special request, because, which they fulfilled, because he did not think himself worthy to be crucified the same way as his Lord and Savior. So when Peter was crucified upside down, and incidentally, when you're crucified upside down, you're... stuff comes up into your mouth and it's terrible. The kind of tortures that people have come up with over the history of mankind have been quite brutal, quite severe, quite inhumane. And yet, Peter, you gotta see that something happens to the follower of Christ where there is not anything in this life that can hold us. There is not anything that this world can do to us that we would fear. See, that's one of the things that makes us different. The world fears a stubbed toe. The world fears the smallest discomfort, the smallest inconvenience. Whereas the children of light, the children of God, because the resolve has been made within, because peace has been found within, and inside the change is made, you can put us through the worst of the worst externally, and we're going to come out the other side. We don't fold. We don't fall apart. We don't melt down like they do. The people of the world are very weak. Very weak. The children of this world are very weak. They have no staying power. They fall one time and they're laid low. They can't handle it. The children of light, the children of God, are strong. Because they've been made strong by the Spirit of God. For us, we go into impossible situations and do exploits in the name of Christ. God puts the things together on our behalf so that we can do those things. And you know what? How many times, just to make it interesting, we have to be grossly outnumbered, completely outgunned, just for the sake of so that at the end of it, that everybody knows and realizes and understands that there is only one way that this whole thing is one, and that's through Christ. See, people so often they think that they can solve it themselves. They push to solve it themselves. They trust in their flesh. They trust in themselves. You know, even right now with Japan, and as much as my heart goes out to them, the need there, as in all places, is to look to the Creator, to look to Christ, to look to Yeshua, to look to Him for direction, for leading, for guiding, for peace, to repent as a nation, to bow their knees and their face before the King of Kings. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you be destroyed in His wrath. Psalm 2, Psalm 149, you got to read those. You know, people say all kinds of things in themselves, have all kinds of visions of grandeur in themselves. But the problem is that the moment that God, if He just, you need, I mean, the very breath in your body is given by Him. If He does not move on your behalf, you're done. And so for these nations of the world, the need is you. Look, you want to be on His side. You know, in Haiti, there was that question that people had. Pat Robertson. Look, Pat Robertson, just stop, man. Stop talking. For your own sake, just because your words are... just stop talking. Pat Robertson said because that Haiti had made a pact with the devil, that was the reason why they were affected by the earthquake the way that... I mean, I mean, how detached from the Spirit of God must you be, Pat Robertson, to be able to say something as boneheaded as that? Because in the middle of all of that, you've got the children of God in that nation right there mixed in with all of the rest of that that have made zero pact with the enemy, that love God, that serve Him, that are there in the midst of all of that doing His will, His plan, and His purpose. And you are so freaking ignorant. You don't have a clue what's going on in the world right now. You and all the rest of your friends need to shut up. Because in the middle of this whole thing, and you know what, the question that was asked to some of the people that are followers of Christ in there that have leadership position in the body of Christ in that nation, and they asked, you know, why did this happen to this nation? And you know the response there was, you know what, Jesus said in His word that in the last days that there would be these things happening. And we know that. And so God has allowed and blessed us to still be here after the close of this disaster happening in our country and in our nation. And God has allowed for us to still be here. So He has a further purpose for us in His will and plan for what it is that we do in this nation as we represent Christ. Would to God that somebody in America and somebody that preaches from a pulpit would actually understand what's going on. So what, did Japan make a pact with the devil too, Pat? Pat Robertson, Mr. 700 Club. Oh, joy. Yeah, okay, never mind. Yeah, send him this. Copy this link. Send it over to them. See what they say about it. Anyways, so, in the midst of these things that are going on, look, my buddy Zeph is right on. The end goes on a long time. There's going to be a lot more going on these days. There is, there just is. And unprecedented events taking place even in these last couple of months, and things escalating in countries around the world. But in the midst of this, your approach as a child of God, it is not to save your life in this world. No. See, this is where the fear mongers come back in. You know, the name it and claim it gospel seems pretty stupid right about now. It seems really stupid right about now because nobody in Japan is interested in your naming and claiming right now. See, this is the thing about truth. Truth is true wherever it is that you go. Truth is true. It's universal. That's why the cross is universal. The blood of Jesus is universal. These are truths that are applied wherever it is that you go. Your stupid name it and claim it ministries, your pop psychology, Joyce Meyer codependent women conference, there is zero. Zero in there for anybody that has a brain that does all that stuff is so dated. It went out back in the 90s with those bad haircuts. Look, alright. Yeah. Yes, I'm angry. I am slightly angry. I'm driving angry. You know, why? In part because, look, we need you on the wall, we need you in the fight. God has called you into this. And this fear thing has got to go. Perfect love drives out all fear. I think that's in 1 John 4. Perfect love drives out all fear. It do not allow, look, turn yourself over to the Spirit of God. Let the light of God flood your entire being and push that stuff out. Let Him, you know, if He has 100% of who you are, there won't be fear in you. If he has 100% of who you are, if you have not withheld one spot of your life from him, you will have no fear going forward. There will just be a boldness in your spirit to do what it is that God has for you to do, and you will go forward in that, in the strength and in the wisdom of the Spirit of God that leads and guides you into all truth. But do not withhold one part of yourself, because whatever it is that you withhold is the very thing that will kill you. That's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. There is a deeper principle going on in that story than just holding back some money. The very thing that they sought to withhold, pretend that they had given 100% over to God, but really withheld whatever it was, that's the thing that kills them. That's the thing that kills you and I. If you and I withhold any part of our lives, that is the stumbling block. That is the place where that's it. You died right there. You died right there at that spot that you withheld whatever it was that you withheld from Christ. He will be master of all, 100% of your life. There is nothing that you can withhold from him and continue on. You can't. It does not work. You know, this whole seeker-sensitive crap that has gone on inside those institutional... I don't even know what to call them anymore. I will not dignify them by calling them church, because they're not church. The church is not a place that you go. The church is who we are. You and I right now, together, over the airwaves, even right now, this is church. This is church. That thing, that space, that is not church. Look, the seeker-sensitive thing doesn't... Jesus was not seeker-sensitive. All right? If you've read the Gospels, Jesus was not seeker-sensitive. He called a woman a dog. He told people, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Everybody walked away except the 12 at that point. He turned around and said to those guys, would you guys want to leave too? He was not seeker-sensitive. Yes, he calls. The many are called, but the chosen are few. The chosen are those that are willing to go with him 100% no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost to themselves, no matter what the cost to their life in this world, 100%, Lord God, you call it, I'll go. There is nowhere else for them. We go with the Lamb wherever it is that he leads us and guides us. We follow the Prince of Peace no matter what. You and I are destined for this. You and I are called for this. Look, what are you afraid of? This is the moment to which you've been destined and called. What do you think God's been preparing you for? All that rough stuff that you've gone through before, it was to shape you so that you were ready for what's coming up right now. So while the world that has been coddled and babied and just turned into these fat, sloppy little... there's no substance, no backbone at all, and they're melting. They're melting now. Things have not even begun to get rough, you guys. They haven't. Oh my gosh! Look, we're just getting started. The way through all of this, 100% of who you are, fused and one with the Spirit of God, oneness with him, zero left over, zero left out, not a single part of your being that has not been turned over 100% to the Spirit of the living God. You are fused with him. There is no separation between you and Christ Jesus. That's it. That's the only way. There is no other way. That is the gate. Jesus is the gate. You, as his bride, match him. You are a reflection of Him. You are consummated with Him. There is no separation. So you respond to Him the same way that He came to you. God withheld no part of Himself in Christ Jesus. He gave Himself 100% up for us. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame. The joy set before Him was the joy of knowing that He would spend eternity with us. That going through what was necessary at that time, we would be restored to Him. Look, the joy set before Him was not going back to heaven. He already had that. What was the joy set before Him was the fact that you and I could now be with Him. Where we were separated before, we were no longer separated. Where we were cut off before, we were no longer cut off. Where we had no relationship, no communion, now we were in oneness, in unity with Him. And the devil has worked so hard, financed so many churches and religious organizations, all of these things, all over the place to keep you, to get you close, but no cigar. Close, but no cigar. No finishing on that. Just you're always, God's always somewhere over there, and you're somewhere over here, and it's not gonna quite work. You're just not quite there. He's always outside, always at a distance. Nope. Not for the true church. Not for the true saints of God. For us, we are fused with the Spirit of God. See, a Christian is a Christ-like one. You are one anointed in the order of Christ. You are His representatives in the earth. People see you, they see a reflection of the kingdom of God. There is no separation between you and the Father. You are one in Him. He is one in you. That's it. Now, God manifests Himself through you in the unique way that He has designed and made you. But you're one in Him. And just like a coconut tree grows different than a fir tree, grows different than an apple tree, than an oak tree, they're all trees. Designed in a similar way. And they all receive that life that comes from the sun, and they soak that life up, and they grow, and they produce fruit. And you and I are all different, and yet we're all the same in Him, in that we have the same Spirit of God that bears witness inside of our souls. The same Spirit of God bears witness inside of you, that I indeed speak as an ambassador of truth and light, and you indeed are receiving it as well, and you speak, and we all go on with this, and we know the God that we serve. We will not follow another. We will not follow a voice of deception. We will not follow a deceiving spirit. We will not follow the deceptive religious system that seeks to ensnare, to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. Look, that stuff just, I do not even have time for it anymore. Yes, I will expose it. Yes, I will drag it out into the light like so many dirty cockroaches. Yes, of course, I'll show it for what it is. Because, hey, I can spot a merchandiser a long ways away. Look, you guys, go get a job. Get a job. Quit trying to work a half day once a week. Your Sunday morning thing. Look, idle hands. Put your hand to something. Do something productive. Help those in need. Put yourself in there. Look, get to it. Your system's broken. It's not working. Everybody's leaving. They finally figured it out. Okay, good. Good? All right, cool. So, look, you'll thank me in the morning. Okay. I'll tell you what. It's all good. It's all good. Look, love God, trust Him, follow Him. Don't don't go with anything less. You want the real thing. You want the real thing. And it's there. It's available. He wants you to have it. So, with that, it's all good. Hey, it's all good in Christ Jesus. So, love you guys. And we'll catch up again sometime soon. God bless you. Love you. Talk to you later. Bye.